Now we begin to look at the biblical text for this 11th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And the first one is Ezekiel 24, 22 to 24. And once you know that the gospel is going to be the parable of seed sown in the ground, if you had to go find an Old Testament reading that would fit that, throw light on it, where would you go? Ezekiel 24. And you can see that in our Lord's parable, he's referring back to this himself, as we'll see. So it says, see, thus says the Lord God, I too will pluck from the crest of the cedar the highest branch. From the top of a tender shoot, I will break off and transplant it on a lofty high mountain. On the mountain height of Israel, I will plant it. What? This little thing I've taken off from the tree. It shall put forth branches and bear fruit and become a majestic cedar. This tiny little thing. That's the mystery of growth. And that's every small bird will nest under it. All kinds of winged birds will dwell in the shade of its branches. I bet everybody can already figure out what the gospel is going to be about, right? Where the birds can nest in its branches. It's coming from here. Our Lord's using it. What's the mystery here? The mystery here is growth. Now, growth means what? It means God's activity. This people of God, our forefathers, only grow because God acts in their midst. And that's why this parable, this symbol of a plant growing is so apt. You don't see God acting, but, you know, if you do it yourself, it's when you're hearing this, it'll be June 7th, so you still have time to go out and plant something. Go out and plant something. Plant some tulip bulbs or petunias or whatever, daisies, whatever you like. And then watch the mystery. Where is the principle of growth? Why do they grow? They start to absorb nutrients from the soil through their roots. And by some mysterious, that's life, they transform it into themselves. And they grow. And they're beautiful. The church is like that. Except that, as it says in Psalm 1, the just man is like a tree planted by water. The church is like a tree planted by water. It absorbs all this by the mystery of growth. God wants growth. God's plan is that the whole world know him. And that knowing him, they love each other. That's God's plan. And that's when the kingdom of God is finally here. We've got little glimpses here and there, but we don't. I mean, just look at the mess we're in. Nations are fighting against one another. Everybody's worried about their money. Who's worried about God and about their neighbor? The growth comes there. That growth that makes this thing absorb and get greater and more beautiful and more useful. That is the work of God himself. Literally, God's direct action. We say that the Holy Spirit is the soul of the church. Now, what does that mean? My soul makes me grow and keeps me alive. If my soul leaves my body, I'm dead. The soul of the church is the blessed Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, living in the depth, moving, enlivening, helping for augmentation. It's that the Lord is talking about in this parable. And he goes on, you see, as I've already read, every small bird will nest under it. Isn't that beautiful? There's room for everybody. Big shots and little shots. Everybody. In fact, you can't really tell who the big shots are and who the little shots are, because that depends upon God's judgment, not ours. I may take the tall, handsome, brilliant, athletic, and he may take this humble man who prays every day and cares for his family and trusts God. That's the big shot. Not in this world's terms, but in God's terms. You see? Every tree of the field will know that I am the Lord. That means, you see, they will know Ani Adonai. That is, they will recognize and honor me as God. I bring low the high tree, lift high the lowly tree, wither up the green tree, and make the dry tree bloom. As I, the Lord, have spoken, so will I do. And you see the reversal. This notion of a great reversal permeates the Word of God, trying to get us from being fascinated by glitter, the concupiscence of the eyes, the concupiscence of the flesh, and the pride of life. And so it's the little ones who are great. And so just look, my friends, for instance, at Our Lady's song. You know, my soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly estate of his handmaid. And he goes on to say, you know, the rich he sends away and the poor he feeds. He pulls down the princes from their thrones and exalts the lowly. That's the principle of the great reversal. When our Lord wants to give an outline of Christian morality, Father Servet Pinker is one of the great theologians of our time, great moral theologian, Dominican, taught in Freiburg, and he said, the basis of New Testament moral theology is the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor, because the kingdom of God is theirs. That's not the way we feel, right? Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the pure of heart. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That doesn't sound much like putting all your energy in trying to be president of the bank, does it? You can be president of the bank and have these qualities. But this is the great reversal. And that's what this text is talking about. And the psalm, you see, is going to pick up this theme in another way. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. Tov lehodot l'Adonai, and to sing praise to your name, O Most High. That's good to do. Sometimes people say, I don't know how to praise God. You've got to know. You've got to learn. Otherwise, when you get to heaven, you're going to have a culture shock. Everybody there is praising God. So it starts, remember, praise, the place of praise is not the emotions, it's the mind. And if you start reflecting on all that God has done for you, you will be grateful and you will start to praise. See, it is good to, this translation, to give thanks to the Lord, huh? To, and this is famous word again, yada, you know, and to make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning. Lahagid baboker. Now, what do you think after hearing me all this time? What's the word underlying this word for love here? If this was a class, I could hear you all saying something and I could figure out if you got it. Hesed. You see, it's got to translate this abundant word, we try to find the best equivalent in English for the context. See, to proclaim in the morning your hesed and your faithfulness in the evening. I've lost where the English is. See what they say now? It is good to give thanks to you, Lord. To proclaim your love at daybreak and your faithfulness in the night. That's your emunat ka. You know, your that's where we get the word amen from. You know all that. Then the text skips, the psalm selection skips several verses and comes down again to this theme, the just. You see, now that, what would be the word? I wish we had two-way television so I could say, what would be the Hebrew word here that they're translating the just man, the just? Sadiq from Sadek, you see, a Sadiq is a person who honors the truth of every relationship. The truth of the relationship to God is to love Him, to praise Him, to trust Him, to turn to Him. That's the having the right relationship. You're Sadiq in that way, you see. And with your neighbors, with your family, have the right relationship. And that's called, you see, that second word, after that first word, you see, is imunatka, your stability, your amen quality. See, Hebrew doesn't have a huge vocabulary, but it does have words that are huge, that mean lots of different things, depending on their context. And it's beautiful, okay? And then it says, on the ten-stringed harp with melody on the lyre, for you make me jubilant, O Lord, by your deeds, at the works of your hands I shout for joy. Huh? That reminds me of a time I was riding in a car with a dear friend who's dead now. Many of you probably knew him, Father Rick Thomas. We were driving in Canada. It was getting to be nightfall, you know, evening, and we rounded a bend in the road. We were kind of up in the hills and the mountains, and there was the sunset right there. Unbelievably beautiful. And Rick just said, "Way to go, Jesus!" before he could stop himself, you know? The beauty of that, you see? So, the just shall flourish like a palm tree, shall grow like a cedar. Well, now, you must have seen at least pictures of a palm tree. That's a big tree. And the cedar of Lebanon, you must have seen pictures in books. Those are big trees, stable trees. Nothing's going to knock them over. And that's what he's saying. The just, that is the one who honors the truth of his relationship to God. Planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit even in old age. They will stay fresh and green, so that they can proclaim, the Lord is just. The Lord honors the truth of every relationship, and in Him there is no wrong. There is no wrong in God. If there's anything wrong in the relationship between you and me, God, it's on my side, not your side. Siddhaka laka Adonai, justice is on your side. And so, that's the way this we begin these texts. You notice how in this next text as well, there's the image of the just man, the just person who flourishes like a palm tree. And so we move on.